Amen. Thank you, Brent. Thank you, church. And I want to continue this morning just in the spirit of Remembrance Day and share a few things this morning from the Word of God and a few other thoughts as well. But I appreciate that song because the Lord doesn't need an army. The Lord doesn't need anyone, but He is willing to use those who are willing to be used. And a few good men, whether on the battlefield of life or whether on the battlefield, spiritually speaking, of life, God will use those that are willing to be used of Him. And I appreciate the privilege that God would want to use the likes of me. But this morning, I want to begin here with a word of prayer. And, you know, as I turned around, I couldn't help but to take a look at you who stood here this morning. And as I did, I felt this sense of pride. And not the kind of pride that we try to avoid, not that arrogance, not that, you know, that godless, self-centered pride, but the kind of pride where we look around and we are proud because we see men and women that we reverence and we respect. And we could say, I know him. He comes to my church, and I know what he's done, and I know the kind of person that they are, and they have the kind of qualities that we really want to lift up and perpetuate to those around us the kind of qualities of service and sacrifice. And so I think it's right to honor those who are willing to lay down their lives and to serve. So again, thank you for those that have. And of course, we say thank you to those Canadians that are serving even now, but also we remember those that have laid down their lives in service. And so let's just have a word of prayer, and we'll dedicate the next few minutes here to the Lord. And just ask him to encourage our hearts and speak to us this morning. Father, we do give you thanks and praise once again that we can gather together today. And Lord, that in honor of those who have served our nation, in honor of those, Father, who you have emboldened with courage and loyalty and bravery, Father, those that were willing and are even now willing to lay their lives down for the betterment of their countrymen, for this nation, Father, we are thankful today for those that serve and those who have laid their lives down in sacrifice that we might be free. And so, Father, we give you praise and thanks for those that have served and are serving. And we thank you, Father, for your Son. And we thank you for the plan of salvation. Lord, that not only can we as men and women be called into military service in the flesh, but Lord, also we can be called into service in the Spirit, Lord, as soldiers of Christ, serving the King of Kings and the captain of our salvation. And so, God, we thank you that these worlds come together and that spiritually and biblically speaking, we can see the work that you're doing on both fronts. So, Lord, we thank you for the freedom of our nation. We thank you, Lord, for those who have served and have risked and laid their lives down. And we thank you, God, for men and women and children that want to honor those who have laid their lives down. And, Lord, we ask that you would bless your word in these few minutes left. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This week, we had the privilege of spending some time in some nursing homes and sharing the Word of God in different ways and remembering the veterans and remembering those military men and women who are serving or who have served. And I thought about a lot of different things, and we talked about a lot of different things, as we have already this morning, thinking about those who laid their lives down, those who faced unthinkable fears, those who put up with a lot of frightening and traumatizing scenes, and we're thankful for those who were wearied on our behalf and those who have laid their lives down on our behalf. And so Remembrance Day reminds us of those sacrifices. And we all wear the poppy as a way to remind us of those men and women who laid their lives down, who are serving on our behalf. And we want to remember them. We want to honor them. We want to remember what they've done on our behalf. Scripture has a lot to say about sacrifice, and I love the fact that the Bible and the Lord God honors those who are willing to serve in these ways that we're remembering today. And so to the servicemen and women, to those who are willing to lay their lives down, this is the kind of rhetoric that the Bible has to say. I don't know if rhetoric's the right word, but these are the kinds of things that God has to say on their behalf. For example, verse 16 of Hebrews 13 says this, but to do good and to communicate, or to share, that word communicate there means share. To do good and to share, forget not. Don't forget to do good. Don't forget to do right things. Don't forget to share what you have with others. Don't forget to share your skills, your resources. the strategies of your mind, your love, and even your life with others. Don't forget, the Bible says to us, don't forget to do good. Don't forget to do unto others. And we see these kinds of phrases all throughout Scripture. These are truths, and God honors those who abide by these kinds of truths. He lifts them up. He honors them. It says here, the rest of this verse, verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. Here's what it says. For with sacrifices, God is well pleased. And I mean, that is so honoring to those who have laid their lives down, who have done good, who have shared even their lives. It says that with those individuals, God is well pleased. And so if I had the opportunity to speak to every military man and woman here in Canada, I would remind them, I would show them this verse in the Scriptures, and I would point them to the Lord Jesus Christ and pray that they might know Him in a personal way. But I would speak to them on God's behalf and say, God is well pleased with those who share of their lives the skills that they have and the love that they have for their countrymen, for their neighbors, and for their nation. And so I love the fact that God honors those who live their lives in the way that the men and women do and have, who serve on our behalf. And so just for a few minutes today, I wanted to talk a little bit about the kind of service that we are reminded of on Remembrance Day. The things that we remember or that we think about. I think about, and I have thought about the last few days, and I've mentioned it a few times, the fact that military men and women have to take up arms on our behalf. They take up arms. And you think about that phrase. What does that mean, to take up arms? To take up military weapons in offensiveness and in defense of our nation and of their lives and of those that they are fighting with. So they take up arms. And I thought, you know, that's not a really nice thing to have to do. We're not talking about hunting. We're not talking about marksmanship. We're talking about something very frightening where you literally are staring down the face of an enemy, an evil, and maybe even literally the barrel of another gun. And so you take up arms and you fight against those fears and in boldness. And no doubt with prayers on the lips of many, you take up arms and you fight defensively and offensively against the evils of this world. So I think about the men and women who are even now and who have taken up arms. And that's what we remember. It's what we're reminded of on Remembrance Day. We say thank you. That's not a nice thing to do. It's not an easy thing to ask of anyone to do that. And that's what they do on our behalf. And that's what they've done on our behalf. That's why it's important. Lest we forget the sacrifices that have been made. Lest we forget the blood that has been shed for the freedoms that we enjoy. And lose those liberties and freedoms. They took up arms. They took on massive responsibilities. The weight and the burden of many, in some cases, as captains and sergeants out on the battlefields were responsible for their men behind them, medics running out into the war zones, dragging those half-wounded bodies off the battlefields, risking their own lives. Great responsibilities. Find out where we need to be. Find out where the enemy is going to be. Find out where to drop that bomb. Find out what time. Find out what this message really means. Great responsibilities. Agonizing over these things day and night, year after year. On our behalf, they took up arms, they took on these responsibilities, and they took on the evils of this world. Not easy. Not easy. That's what's required, and even Scripture teaches us that good men have to stand. Gird up your loins like a man and stand against evil. Abhor that which is evil. Don't allow it to poison our nation or our hearts. And so we think about those men and women. We're reminded, the poppy reminds us of the blood that was shed. The fact that men and women have and are even now taking up arms on our behalf, taking on massive responsibilities on our behalf, taking on the evils of this world and taking out the evils of this world, by the way, taking them right out. And so they do that for us. That's what we remember on Remembrance Day. They take up some things. They take on some things. They take out some things. But you know what else they do is they give up some things, don't they? And some of you that have served understand what that looks like and what that feels like, to give up the comforts of home. You know, I'm a guy that likes to be home. I'm a mama's boy. I married my wife. Now I'm a wife's boy. I don't know if that's a... You know. I just like to be home. And I don't like to be away from home. That's a big deal, to give up the comforts of home, the things that you're comfortable with, the life that you're used to, the routines. And there's people that do that all the time. It's one thing to go to a different country and start a new life. It's another thing to go to a different country and lay it down for the country that you left. They gave up the comforts of home. They gave up those sunny days of summer, laying at the beach. They gave up those Christmas times where there was peace around the Christmas tree. And instead, they sat in dirty old trenches, holding off the evils of this world. They gave up the comforts that we enjoy. They gave up family members. They gave up safety. They gave up their freedom, and not only the freedom of their lives and laying them down, but also freedom in general. Do this, do that, stand here. Don't stop, no matter what. No choice. Sleep here. Eat that. Soldiers don't have it easy. And they gave up a lot of things, and even now, many, giving up a lot of things on our behalf, even to the point where they are willing to give up their lives in defense, again, of us. For our freedom, we get to enjoy freedoms because of those that were willing to lay their lives down. And so we remember those who take up. We remember those who give up comfort, family, safety, freedom, and even their lives. You know, their lives remind us, and Remembrance Day reminds us of things like loyalty, and bravery, and courage. I love the fact that though there were many that didn't go overseas to fight, they still served. They still gave up some things. They still held the line. Even our nation, during those world wars, would gather together and they would rally and they would collect things and they would raise funds and they would pray on behalf of the men and the women that were serving, and they would encourage widows who lost husbands and children who lost dads when they got those knocks on the door and those telegraphs. And so everybody to some degree understands the sacrifice and the suffering of war, but not like those on the front lines, not quite like them. We remember their loyalty and their bravery. You know, as believers, as Christians, and just people in general, we give out love in bits and pieces throughout our whole lives, right? We love our children here and there, hugs and kisses and smiles. We love our spouses in the same way. We love the people that we work with and we serve. And every day we get up and we give a little bit of ourselves to somebody else. We give a little bit of our love to somebody else. Every day, over our lifetimes, we are just giving of ourselves, giving love of ourselves. That's the way in which God wants us to live, by the way. Not taking, 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 so that at the end of your life you can die and have nothing with you when you head into eternity. What good is it then? But giving of yourself, giving of yourself. The Bible says it is better to give than to receive. How much? To give your whole life. And so we see people that give their whole lives. And then we see those who give all their love at once. And that's what a soldier who dies does. He serves and he serves and he gives of himself every day, getting up every day, eating those rations, shivering in those trenches, giving love every day, giving a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and then leaving the safety of a dirty trench and losing their life on the battlefield for our freedom. They give up all their love at one time right there till they have nothing left to give. That's why God says he is well pleased. Well pleased with those that share, that give, that do good in those ways, despite the consequences, despite the suffering, and despite the risk. So we remember, we're reminded on Remembrance Day of these things. Just quickly, I jotted down, we remember their service as they serve in so many different ways. Countless ways soldiers serve, not just in fighting, but many other ways. We remember their sympathy. Obviously, they sympathize with those that they love. And they say, I don't want my family members to die under the wicked rule of an enemy. I don't want my loved ones to have to suffer. And so I have sympathy for them. I don't want them to endure that. I will fight. I will do something about it. And they show sympathy. Supplications. I can imagine when we think about this word, supplication, we think of prayer and pleading with God. And I can only imagine how many prayers were on the lips of countless soldiers as they supplicated, as they prayed, as they cried out to God for their well-being and their protection, and also the well-being and protection of those who fought beside them and ultimately of the well-being and protection of their country, pleading with God to give them the strength to fight a little harder, that their nation, that their people who they loved would remain safe from the enemies that would come in to destroy them. And they would have supplicated, they would have prayed. They submitted themselves to their captains, their sergeants, and their majors. They committed themselves to difficult days, to loss. They submitted to those things. They experienced sorrows and then ultimately sacrifice, many of them. Sacrificed in some way, shape, or form, if not their entire life, all that they could give. And as many of our veterans know, they don't forget. They bring a lot of those things back with them. I thought about and I was reminded of all of these things that our soldiers do. There's a verse in John chapter 15, verse 13, if you would turn there, please. John chapter 15, this verse is one that we often refer to, especially as we remember those who have laid their lives down on Remembrance Day. Here's what it says, and then we're going to go to one more passage, and then we'll be done. It says this in John chapter 15, verse 13. Again, this is God's attitude, those who have risked their lives, those who have gone to war. I heard stories this week of 14-year-old boys, 14-year-old boys who lied about their age because they wanted to go and fight. They wanted to go to war. They wanted to follow those adventures. And I listened to a gal that I appreciate, and we sit with her at the nursing home, and she shared with me how it was her father, who was the 14-year-old boy that went to war. And he came back, and he wasn't the same. He grew up, and he had a family, and she heard all of those stories that he endured, all of those things that he went through, all of the friends that he lost. We think about their sacrifices. We think about the love that they must have had. And here's what God has to say. Another verse, verse 13, it says this. These are the words of Jesus Christ. So if we want to know, what's God's attitude? God, what do you really think about those that risk their lives for our freedom? I'll tell you what he says. I'll tell you what he thinks, and I'll tell you even a little bit more in a second, that he agrees with this kind of love and behavior because he himself participated in it. Jesus Christ also laid his life down. But here's what it says, greater love hath no man than this. So understand that phrase. This isn't an exaggeration. This is us coming to the scriptures, and we can find out, God, what is the greatest love that man can ever have for mankind? God says, I know what it is. I'll show you. I'll tell you. Here it is here. Greater love hath no man than this. This is the greatest way in which we can show love for somebody else, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the greatest love there is. God puts his stamp of honor on those who have laid their lives down on our behalf. He says, there's no greater love than that. God, what's the greatest love there is? When a man dies for his friends, willingly lays his life down for their well-being, God says, that's the greatest love there is. So as I look around, and as I think about the men and women who have served and are serving and who have laid their lives down, I think, what high praise is this that God himself would say about those who laid their lives down and those who are even now willing to do so, that he would say, that's the greatest love there is. That's why I beam. To be acquainted with those who God says that's the greatest love a man can show. He would lay his life down for his friends. I love that. These are the kind of men and women that we honor on Remembrance Day. And this is why we don't forget. This is the greatest love that humanity could ever muster. And once a year, at least, we do our best here as Canadians to honor those whom God has referred to as having the greatest love in our nation. And we do our best to follow those examples, not only as citizens of Canada, but as citizens of the heavenly country or the kingdom of God, soldiers of Christ, in the very same ways. In Luke chapter 22, here as we close, Luke chapter 22. I really appreciated the quote that was on our sign. The folks here, you folks do such a wonderful job honoring the Lord, serving the Lord here. And the sign, I can't remember it exactly, but it said something like, we're remembering those or those, some who died for all. And then it went on to say, but there was one who died for all, or some who died for many. I guess that's what it was. And then it went on to talk about there was one who died for all. That was Jesus Christ. Greater love hath no man this than this, but that a man lay down his life for his friends. And yet I think about the love of God. What kind of love does God have? God laid down his life not just for his friends, but for even his enemies and even the whole world. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He died for the very people, taking his life that they could be saved from hell, that they could know him and be forgiven of their sins. He died for every single one of us. The Bible says that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why? So that we could have freedom. Not freedom from another nation on planet Earth, but freedom for what comes later. Freedom from the rest of eternity. Freedom from the judgment of God. Freedom from being separated from God in a Christless hell. Freedom from our own sin that will send us there. God is offering us freedom. He has defeated death and the devil. And so like those soldiers, Jesus Christ did the same thing. He took up the cross. And offensively and defensively, he went to war against the devil himself and death on our behalf. He took up a cross for us. The Lord Jesus Christ took our sin upon his body for us. My sin, every sin I ever committed. Think about that for a second. Well, don't, not for too long. You'll get discouraged. Every lie I ever told, everything I ever stole, every foul thing I ever thought or ever did, every wicked thing. Jesus Christ took those sins upon his body and he bled and he died for them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, maybe verse 2. He took our sins on his body. And he suffered and he bled and died. Think of it, this room, just this room alone, let alone the whole world and every person that ever existed, every sin in this room, Jesus Christ bled and died. He was judged on that cross. He did nothing wrong. Why did he die on the cross? It was for us. He was the sacrificial lamb. He died so that we could be forgiven and be freed from the penalty of our sinfulness. He rose again. He defeated death and he defeated the devil. He took up the cross. He took our sin upon himself and he took on the evils of this world, again, the devil and death itself, and he defeated both. He gave up the throne in heaven. He became man. He set aside his deity. He gave up comfort. He gave up all of those things. And he did that for us because of his love for us. In Luke chapter 22, there's a little scene here I want to talk about just as we close. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. On June the 9th, in 1944, one of the biggest battles, or maybe the most heroic battles for Canadians took place, was in Normandy, right? We go to Dieppe, we can remember the War of Dieppe, the War of St. Lawrence, that was mentioned this morning by Mo in the presentation. It's fantastic this morning. But we also remember Normandy and how the Canadians there, the 3rd Division, showed up there on Juno Beach, and they went to war, and it was the Canadians that took hold of the beachfront there, securing it and allowing those Allied forces to advance and to free France and the rest of Europe, ultimately. And we love those stories, and we think about those things that were accomplished. That was a battle that was terrible. It was bloody. It was difficult for many. There were many lives lost. And Canadians were very heroic in that battle, and so we often refer to it. But there was a battle that Jesus Christ also faced. And he faced this battle in different ways, in different places. And right here in the garden is one of those battles. Just as we close, it says, and he came out and he went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. What's the point? Like those soldiers who are servants, Jesus Christ is and was a servant. He had literally just finished washing the feet of his disciples at the Last Supper. And then he says, I'm going to the garden to pray. Let's go. And away he goes. The servant of man, Jesus Christ, who laid his life down for the whole world, demonstrated his servanthood. And off to the garden they go. Verse 40, it says, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Like those soldiers who served and showed sympathy, love for their fellow Canadians, Jesus Christ is showing sympathy for those disciples. Guys, trouble is coming. Don't go to sleep. Pray. that you don't enter temptation, that you don't fall when difficulties come. Pray. That's what Jesus was doing. He was encouraging them to pray. It says in verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. This is Jesus battling in the garden, wrestling with what he's about to accomplish on the cross for you and for me. Verse 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. The Lord Jesus Christ supplicated like many soldiers do and have and will. He prayed. He talked to God. He prayed, Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, if there's any other way that we can accomplish the salvation of humanity without me taking the sin of the world on my body, without me being separated from you on the cross, without me shedding my blood and dying, going through this judgment, the wrath of God. Then he said, but if not, thy will be done. And like soldiers do, he submitted to his Father. He submitted to the will of God. He said, I'll do what you want me to do. Nevertheless, thy will be done. And he submitted. Verse 43, it says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. You say, well, why? The disciples were there. They were sleeping. So God sends an angel, a servant, whom Christ created to encourage Christ as he battled against the powers of evil that we don't even understand, and wrestled in the garden as he was about to go to the cross for you and for me and take all of the sins of the world on his body. He was strengthened by an angel there, encouraged. Verse 43, as we close, it says, and there appeared an angel strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. He prayed even harder, but he sorrowed there in great agony. He rose up, found the disciples sleeping. Judas comes. They haul away Jesus, and off to the cross he goes, and he sacrificed his life. Just like the soldiers that we're remembering do, he did as well. The Son of God. And so when we get to Remembrance Day, I can't help but to compare those things and to remember. When I'm reminded of what those soldiers go through and what they went through, when I reverence them, when I honor them, I'm also reminded of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The one who laid down his life for us all so that we could be free from the evils of sin, death, and judgment day, the enemy who works against us. And the Bible makes it clear that all those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, whosoever believeth in him, that's how you enlist, shall be saved. And I'm thankful for his salvation. Father, as we close here this morning, we thank you. Again, that we can remember those men and women that have laid their lives down and even now are serving. And we believe it's right to do this and not to forget, but to honor them. Not to take for granted the freedoms that we have or the blood that was shed. The sacrifices made by not only the men and women that went, but the men and women and the families that stayed home and waited and prayed and sorrowed and lost loved ones. And then, Father, ultimately this day, of course, as believers, reminds us of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who experienced the same sorts of things. But ultimately, he died not for some. He died for all. Thank you, Father, for this, and that when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, when we put our faith in him, the Bible says that we can be forgiven of our sins, that he seals us and he saves us, and we become soldiers of Christ, following him throughout our lives into eternity. So we thank you, God, for this truth. Bless us, Lord, today as we close. And, Lord, allow these things to stay close to us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.